The title to today's devotion is My Grace is Sufficient for You. How often have we heard the opening verses read in an epistle or book in the New Testament without making any further reference to them? Many of the New Testament epistles have a common opening or greeting to the book. For example, we read in Ephesians 1:1-3, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The greeting the apostles commonly use is grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a number of places in the Bible where God's grace is mentioned, but I ask the question, how much do we understand what God's grace is? There is a hymn which opens with these words, Oh, the grace of God is boundless, it's like a mighty sea, and it rolls on through the ages, bearing love to you and me. But the Lord's so great in goodness, that he opens heaven to view, and not only gives us mercy, but he gives us glory too. There is grace for every temptation, there is strength for every day. There's a lift for every burden that we carry on the way. There's a refuge for the tempest. There's a help for all we do. And when we shall end the journey, we will find there's glory too. The opening words to this hymn sums up God's grace. Yet God's grace is boundless. As the proverb says, privilege means responsibility. There is an acrostic often used for the letters GRACE, grace, used to describe God's grace. It reads, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's grace is his undeserving favor to us. If we were expected to live up to God's standards in order to receive God's grace, we would never make it. Remember, it is because of God's deep love for mankind that we have the privilege to receive God's grace. Although we are God's children, we still sin. We are at his mercy. We have to faithfully trust him to continue to forgive, love, and care for us, and expect him to carry on loving us in spite of how far short we fall in living up to his perfect standards. David says in Psalm 86:15, But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. The Apostle Paul clearly describes the wonder of God's grace. He says in Ephesians 2, As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, that is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We read in Titus 2:11-14, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. We need to ponder on God's grace, on what God has done for us before we ask him into our lives, and then consider how God's grace continues to be relevant to us today. If we were able to spend just a short time in heaven, as many Christians have done, having died and through the wonders of modern medicine have been brought back to life, we will find that heaven is a place of purity, truth and righteousness. There is no sin in heaven. Everyone is sinless and pure. No one on this earth is able to enter heaven if there is the slightest blemish of sin, except those who have been forgiven and cleansed through the redemptive work Jesus did on Calvary. As we read in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. But God's grace does not finish when we invite him into our lives. When once we have been cleansed and set free from the perils of sin, we as frail human beings will continue to make mistakes up until we leave this world. This in itself is a wonder of God's grace. What wonderful, inspiring and moving words John Newton wrote in his hymn, summing up his evil and destitute lifestyle, till he was changed when he called out to God. The words to this hymn are well known, but we need to take in the truth of these words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. We need to understand what it is that makes God's grace so special. We need to ask ourselves, what is the driving force in the heart of God and of Jesus to show such grace? The words of the hymn ask the question, what was it, O our God, led thee to give thy Son, to yield thy well-beloved for us by sin undone? It was love, unbounded love to us, to give thy well-beloved for us. What led the Son of God to leave his throne on high, to shed his precious blood, to suffer and to die? 'Twas love, unbounded love for us, led him to die and suffer thus. Remember those opening words by the apostle in one book he wrote, Ephesians 1:2, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle's desire was for each one of God's children to know the grace of God living effectively in their hearts. But in order to effectively live out and know that grace, we have to know the love of God in what we say as well as what we do, in such a measure to be able to show God's grace to your fellow Christians, but also to those outside the fold of God. Let us look at the verse I have used for the title to this devotion. Remember, when reading a verse, always look at verses surrounding it to get the context, to fully understand the true meaning and the words in the verse. The Apostle Paul is talking about the dangers of boasting. So, he says in Corinthians 12:7-10, "Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a message of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The Apostle Paul, through committing his life to Christ, became a mighty warrior of the faith, but it was at a cost. He suffered many hardships. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:3-10, "We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonment and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, have nothing and yes, possessing everything." In spite of all the hardships that Paul suffered, he heard the Lord say to him in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God was saying to Paul, "In spite of all you are going through, my favor and blessings will meet all your needs." The fundamental lesson for us to learn and understand and live by is that we are just humble servants, faithfully doing God's bidding. If we keep that attitude of being God's humble servants, we will not want to boast about ourselves. The thorn in the flesh that Paul had was to keep him humble. The Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 1:26-31, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, 'Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" There are many times in my life when I've had to go to God and say, "This is out of my depth, Lord. Please take over." We can so easily do what we're doing in our own strength, not allowing God to take the lead. That is where we should always be, allowing him to take charge. As the quotation says, "Let go and let God." I am reminded of a young child who accidentally broke his toy and went running to his father and said, "Daddy, mend this, please." But moments after the given it to his dad, he snatched it back, thinking he could mend it himself, but failed. When in difficult situations, we have to have the will and the trust to allow God to overcome the difficulties. Remember, we are only God's servants, able and willing to do His will. So when difficulties arise, we can say, Lord, take me through this situation, knowing it is He who is leading, because we are being led and guided by God. He takes the responsibility. So when we come to a hurdle, we know God will help us over the hurdle. Let go. Let God. Before we close this devotion, we need to notice what the Apostle says alongside the word grace. Let us go back to Ephesians 1:2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us think of these two words like two bookends being brought together, grace and peace, with God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ in the middle. That is how we need to find ourselves having God's grace in our lives, having an assurance that He has the ability to protect, guide and support us in everything we do and in every situation we face. Leaning on God's grace, we will know God's peace and Jesus and our Heavenly Father in the center of our lives. Then we will know that security we have, as David says in Psalm 91 verse 1. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. May you experience the grace and peace that comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lean into God's grace, which will give you His peace. You will be able to join with the songwriter who has penned these words, I am only a sinner, saved by grace, sung by the Gaither Vocal Band.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner, saved by grace.
I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my
claim as mine
victories, God.